Hey, thank you, Heather.
Sure. Nice.
All right. That brings us to agenda item 9, report, discussion, and possible action on report from the technical consultant 9.1, summary of source of availability, supplies, and elements of hydrologic variance request, Tony Smith.
Okay, as I mentioned before, we're heading towards developing the source availability, so this content is going to lead towards a request for an action, and it's the only action we're asking for you today. Everything else in my presentation is informational. I always like to start with our budget. With the recent budget increase, we're at 20% of our expended budget, but again, this isn't the final budget. There's still more coming as we move into the water manager strategy evaluation phase. So I'm going to discuss the hydrologic variance request. Then I'm going to have section 9.2. That's where we'll have discussion and action as appropriate regarding the submittal of the hydrologic variance request. And then 9.3, I'm going to cover kind of the rest of the regional planning and the information that we at least wanted to share with you the first time, so you could at least have a chance to look at it before taking any actions in February. So, evaluating source availability. I guess it's important to identify, maybe everybody in the room knows this and appreciates the choir, but in the parlance of regional planning, there is a difference between source availability and supply. Source availability is the full availability from a reservoir, 100% firm yield, or for example, the mag for an aquifer. That's your source. Your supply is then you consider the legal and physical infrastructure, legal capability and physical infrastructure in place to access that source. So for example, I like to use the example of if we're in the room right now and I ask you how much money you have. Well, you could talk about your savings account, your checking account, and everything else, but if I lock the doors, I say you can't, and turn off the internet, can't access it anymore, can't access any of that money anymore, then the only money you can physically access is what's in your pocket. So that's your supply. Your source is outside the door. It's all of it, but it's what you can physically access. And so, for example, groundwater, we look at capacities of wells, number of wells, how much they could obtain during drought of record conditions. And on surface water, we use the state's modeling to determine firm yield for reservoirs and the available monthly diversions for run-of-river diversions over the period of record. And again, that supply is looking at the infrastructure that's in place. It's based on the assumption that senior downstream water rights are being fully utilized, so we're being conservative there. We always note that a properly issued water right doesn't necessarily mean you're guaranteed access to the water, again, because Texas surface water is based on prior appropriation. But we are mandated to answer the question, how much water could each WUG currently rely on should there be a repeat of the drought of record? So our assumptions try to be conservative in that sense of we want to be looking at worst case scenario, at least during the drought of record. We use the water availability models from TCEQ. In the Brazos G region, we have the Brazos, Colorado, Red, and Trinity basins, at least portions thereof, located within the region. The rules require us that we start with TCEQ's WAM run threes. Now, any variation from those WAMs, water availability models, any variation from those, then we have to have a hydrologic variance request. Run three simply means that that is the version that they use for permitting, and it is very conservative in the sense that all senior water rights at their full permitted amounts are within the model. The original storage capacities are in the model. They use naturalized flows over a long period so that we're ensuring that we capture drought of record conditions. And the Brazos WAM was extended recently just to do that. There we go. The surface water sources to be evaluated. I will not read all these to you. You're welcome. But we will be looking at the firm yields and availabilities from each of these surface water sources. This is just the laundry list by basin that we'll be looking at. The rules for water availability, you start with the unmodified model. We use the WAM for each river basin. Like I said, for run three, those are some of the assumptions there. But for regional planning purposes, we can do something, are supposed to do something different than just what the permitting looks at. And that comes with storage and sedimentation effects. Basically, those buckets over time fill with sedimentation. And as we're looking 50 years out in the future, you can imagine that that can become a significant factor in the availability of water from a reservoir, depending on the watershed and the reservoir and the characteristics of each river water basin. So we're not required to get permission from the Water Development Board on the methodology we use, but we are required to document methodology that we use. And we have to document it in the tech memo, in the IPP, the draft plan, the initially prepared plan, and in the final regional water plan. All this sedimentation does is it affects essentially the area and capacity of the reservoir, how much it can store. And so we want to document that methodology as part of the exercise. So if we're using any alternatives, any changes, well, we have to include those in our hydrologic variance request, and we have to ensure that these assumptions are being conservative in the sense that we're going to look at them from drought record-like conditions, and we're going to reflect conditions, actual drought conditions, that could be expected near-term. So what's required of the regional planning group for the submittal of the hydrologic variance request? Well, there is a checklist. It's a new thing this year. This cycle, I'm sorry, that the Water Development Board has created that we fill out and submit that checklist, and we document the submittal request being approved by the regional planning group at a regional planning group meeting, which is what we're seeking today, and we document that with a cover letter. We try and be, rather give too much information than not enough to the Water Development Board, so we cover quite a bit of the language of our intents in our cover letter, and then we fill out that form to check all the boxes in the form as well. So in that cover letter, we document today's date, October 20th, the regional planning group met, assumedly that if you take action today, that we document that action. We'll define firm safe yields, provide details on the existing sources and strategies, where we're using assumptions for existing strategies versus where we're using assumptions for future, existing supplies versus future strategies. We need to be clear on what assumptions we're making on each. This cycle, the planning group also has the opportunity to opine on droughts worse than the drought of record. And so that comes to, you know, if I just describe these water availability models, they capture 50, 60, 70 years worth of hydrology, but there's uncertainty in that in using that 70 years. Could there be potential for droughts worse than the drought of record? The planning group has the opportunity to weigh in on that. What we've proposed for your consideration is that where there have been studies in the basin, or in the region, I'm sorry, where there have been studies in the region, that we would collect those studies and report them, document them in Chapter 8, share the results of those studies with you. So if there are recommendations that come from this planning group regarding droughts worse than the drought of record, the uncertainties in the hydrology and the modeling that we're using, that this group can review that information, we'll bring it to you at a later date and include that information in Chapter 8 to inform your legislative and regional policy recommendations. The water availability models that we're using for the Brazos, the version's October 1st, 2023. It literally just came out a few weeks ago, the latest version. It has a period record of 1940 through 2018. Last cycle, this planning group had to request in its hydrologic variance request to extend the hydrology to capture the more recent droughts. We're not making that request this time because the official WAMs now got those recent droughts in there. So we don't need to make that request. For the portions of Region G in the Colorado, Red, and Trinity basins, essentially we're going to utilize those regional planning groups' adopted models that have been adopted by the planning group and approved by the Water Development Board. And that's pretty common, that the same situation is kind of happening back and forth, where if somebody's utilizing the Brazos, they'll look to our model, and the approved, if and or when it's approved, that would be the one that they would use. So it's kind of an interchange on those other basins. We have a number of variances that are included in the request. One is to separate the individual BRA contractual diversions from the cumulative contractual diversions. Basically, within the model, they're aggregated by reach, and we're going to go in there and look at each contract. When we run the model, look at the availability at each one of those reaches, like TCEQ does in the official WAM, and then we will apportion the contractual amounts at those reach points to the contractees based on the model results and the information with their contracts. It's similar to what was done in 2021. For reuse, we're going to include return flows for existing surface water rights. For evaluating indirect reuse for a strategy, we're going to include the related return flows for that strategy. In essence, what we're trying to do is be consistent with how TCEQ's permitting process evaluates return flows. So if and or when we're characterizing reuse, we're going to modify it to look at current and future wastewater treatment plant effluent return flows discharged by entities throughout the basin that are permitted to discharge in excess of 0.9 million gallons per day. That comes from what was used in the previous water plan, that's 0.9. So if the discharge is permitted at 0.9, we're going to aggregate that information. The amounts that we're going to put in the model, though, to be conservative, is not the permitted amount. We're going to look at the data and their last 5 years of most recent data and identify the minimum discharge there. That way we're being conservative in the sense of what would be available during a drought record condition. But that's how we would contemplate reuse. And this is similar to what was done in the 21 plan and the 2016 plan as well. The water availability models that TCEQ has, the official versions only include subordination contracts if the contract is mentioned in the water right. But that means there are some subordination contracts that exist that are not mentioned in the water rights and are therefore not in the official water availability model. We, wanting to represent as accurately as possible the Brazos River Basin, proposed to use the agreements for Possum Kingdom Reservoir rights that are subordinate to, well, laundry list here, Lake Allen Henry, the City of Stanford's California Creek pump back into Lake Stanford. I won't go through all of them, but those contractual agreements that aren't in the water right, but we know to exist, we were going to capture those and put those in the WAM. Lake Waco subordinated the City of Clifton's 1996 priority date water right. All these things were done in the 2016 and 21 plan as well. If we identify other subordination agreements that we're presently not aware of, we would include those, but we're not aware of any that we've missed at this point. Just for sake of being clear, we're going to represent BRA's Little River Reservoirs as a system. So it's going to be the Little River Reservoir System. And that's just going to be the combination of the modeled source availabilities for Belton, Georgetown, Granger, Proctor, and Stillhouse Hollow. This is the same as what was done in the previous plan. We're just being clear and documenting it so the board staff know we're doing our reporting. This is how we're going to do it. We're being consistent. Same with the main stem reservoirs. We're also including a variance to accurately reflect the implementation of BRA system operations permit. Essentially, annual source availability volumes will be modeled and analyzed in a manner that's consistent with the terms of their water right for both existing and potential water management strategies. So again, we're going by what the water right allows. We're going to update the reservoir operating rules to work correctly under recent drought conditions. The reservoir operating rules that are in the official WAM Run 3 were designed to work optimally with the 50s drought. BRA has developed more recent information that how they would operate for both the 50s and the more recent droughts. And so we're going to take that information. I won't go into all the details, but essentially we're going to take that model information and incorporate it into our modeling as well to more accurately reflect operations during drought conditions. There are some safe yield assumptions that have been used in previous planning rounds, and we're continuing those here. One is upstream of Possum Kingdom, basically in the Upper Brazos. They've used in the past 1 year and 2 year safe yields. This is consistent with what the sponsors do. 2 year safe yield for Fort Phantom Hill and Hubbard Creek. 1 year safe yield for these folks listed here. And then Palo Pinto County Municipal Water District number 1 operates Lake Palo Pinto. They do it based on a percentage of storage, which is approximate to a half of safe yield. Just for those in the room that I'm not preaching to the choir, a safe yield is where you leave a certain amount of water in the reservoir after you've diverted. So it's kind of like a safety factor, and that's what the term safe yield. But every operator is a little different. They might use a 1 year, they might not use a safe yield at all, or they might use a 1 or 2 year. And so we're being consistent with how they look at the operation of the reservoir and doing what was in the 21 plan as well. We'll also report firm yield, even though we're going to use safe yield. If there are other errors in the WAM, typically when these new WAMs come out, and this one just came out, if we identify any errors in there as we're running it, and we're going to make those corrections and document it, we're going to request to reflect updated sedimentation effects on the existing supply reservoir firm yields. And for ASR evaluations, this was done in the previous plan, but it wasn't in the hydrologic variance request. We're just trying to be thorough here. So the ASR evaluations will consider surface water availability as determined by the WAM compared to the demand for the WUG or wholesale water provider, with the firm supply being the maximum demand that could be met assuming a repetition of the period of record drought. So we're trying to be conservative there as well. As far as sedimentation goes, I won't wax poetic because I know the engineers would really get excited about this, but essentially what we're going to be doing is the Water Development Board and operators will sometimes survey, perform a volumetric survey of their reservoir. That volumetric survey tells how much sediment has come in and where it has gone within the reservoir, all of which shape how much they can store. We're going to be taking that information. Most of them are performed by the Water Development Board. We're going to be taking that information, determining what the rate of sedimentation is, and then look distributing that sediment into the reservoir, and then modeling or developing the area and capacity relations for those reservoirs and including that in the modeling. So that's how we're going to incorporate sedimentation effects in the model itself. And what you'll see is something kind of like this, where over time, where there's significant sedimentation effects, depending on the decade, your area and volume are going to change as that sediment builds up within the reservoir. And so we've got a laundry list of detailing out how we're going to be utilizing those volumetric surveys if they're available. If there's not a volumetric survey available, we're going to go with the whatever the most recent information is, or assume the original capacity if we have nothing else to go on. We'll look at three different methods of distributing the sediment and select the best one statistically. If the owner requests a methodology, then we'll document that. That's in the off chance that they have their own methodology they want to bring to the table. And then we'll look at the 2030 and 2080 values and do a linear interpolation between to develop the decadal yields. So that's a general summary of our hydrologic variance request and all the modeling that goes therein. If there are any questions, I'm happy to answer with any details. Otherwise, section 9.2 here is the proposed language for your consideration.
Any questions for Tony? 9.2 is consideration of action to approve, excuse me, the submittal of the hydrologic variance requests.
So here. I've based this preliminary language on some of our previous submittal requests. I'll just read it to you. Authorize the technical consultant to submit a hydrologic variance request to the Texas Water Development Board on behalf of the Brazos G Regional Water Planning Group, consistent with the information provided in this meeting, and approve for the consultant to work with the chair and administrator to submit further revisions and make responses to revision requests by the Texas Water Development Board.
I would enter
that last clause there is specifically because all of this modeling mumbo jumbo, typically we modelers have to, this is what you're saying. And so we need to anticipate that we're going to have some conversations like that with the Water Development Board and the capability to respond. Thank you.
Okay, I'll entertain discussion or I'll entertain a motion for the action.
So moved.
I have a motion by Dirk Aaron. Is there a second? Second by Scott Felton. Well, Tony already read it. He got off easy, didn't he? So we have a motion by Dirk Aaron and a second by Scott Felton for the motion that's before us. Is there any discussion? Everybody is present to vote. All those in favor say yes.
Yes.
All opposed, no. Action passes. So that brings us to 9.3, the regional water planning update. Tony, you're going to do that too.
I will say, although I probably will regret it, that I think we can get through this portion relatively quickly since we're coming up on the lunch hour. So, with your permission, I'm going to
keep going
on ahead.
Hello. Keep going.
So the items we're going to discuss, the population and demand projections. We're also going to discuss the wholesale water provider and major water provider preliminary list. We'll discuss a little bit about our interregional coordination at the consultant level that we've been having, and then talk about our path forward. So the population and demand projections, municipal population and demand projections. If you recall, we spent a good chunk of this year going through the draft projections, both of population growth and demand growth in our region, and we developed, through an enormous engagement effort, significant information and documentation to submit to the Water Development Board for their review. The Water Development Board staff have reviewed the information and either approved a revision to our request. In your handout, I didn't want to throw 37 slides more at you today, but in your handout are, by county, a graphic showing the population projections and the demand projections for each county. Here, I'm just going to summarize at the regional level, and it's pretty consistent county by county as well. Did I skip a slide? I sure did. On the population side, essentially, I'll opine here that I was pretty happy with the response that we got from the Water Development Board in the sense that they were receptive to the information that we provided to them, particularly in the near term. As you guys can recall, the numbers were fairly low, and there were a lot of decreases. And we, by working with the WUGs, pulled together data and information. And what I'm showing up on this plot, the gray line represents the draft numbers that we originally got from the board. The blue line represents the population numbers when we pulled together all the information that we requested be used instead of the gray line. So obviously, we requested a significantly higher number at the overall regional level. This is for the entire region. The green line represents what the Water Development Board has approved for our use for the 26 plan. And when I say approved, I mean that the staff have approved. The staff approval still has to be vetted and approved by the Texas Water Development Board's board, which I believe is occurring November 9th. It's up on their agenda for consideration. So again, I'll characterize that in the near term, they accepted most of our proposed revisions. And then what they did is, as we got farther out, there was less documentation, less strength in the documentation. There weren't as many folks that looked 50 years out. And so at that point, they started using linearly interpolating to get to the draft rates that they had for 2080, which is why you see the number decrease from our ask in the latter part of the planning period. Nevertheless, we still got those numbers to at least be moving in the upward direction that all the WUGs were hollering, saying, we're growing, we need to capture that in the plan, we're growing. And so I'd say that on the whole, particularly in the near term, we got what we asked for the most part. And that's on the population side. Where the differences were a handful of those big water user groups that had big requests. Those adjustments, particularly in the latter part of the planning horizon, those are the counties where those WUGs were. That's where our big numbers were, where some of those adjustments were to smooth out towards 2080. And on the demand side, again, they took our per capita numbers pretty much straightforward. I think there were a handful that they revised based on the some of the data that they had. But the municipal demand projections, so now we're getting at the heart of the matter, the actual water, not just the population, but the water, we're even closer to what we asked for over the planning horizon. Certainly in the near term, it decreases somewhat in the long term, but it's close to what we asked for generally. That's that green line relative to the blue. So all in all, knowing that my past experience has been that you really have to have some good documentation to make a change, particularly if you're asking for an overall regional increase. The fact that we got that was very encouraging to me, that we're doing a good job of trying to represent what the WUGs are seeing day to day.
Any questions for Tony on that portion? Zach has a question.
Just to prove the point that you spoke too soon. I noticed on Washington County, going through, kind of flipping through all of the, you know, the blue lines are generally above Water Development Board, kind of met us in the middle from the gray lines, but Washington County was kind of off from that general thought, where our blue line was above the gray line, and then what Water Development Board was actually below their original request. Do you have any explanation for that?
I'll have to pull it up.
While they're pulling that up, everybody has this packet. If you'll turn to the third page where it says Brazos County, that top slide is incorrect. It does not count. Heather has just, that is actually the same slide as the bottom one for Bosque County. So they'll send out the correct slide to you after this meeting.
Why they're looking for Washington County? What about the planning county? Are they all three lines laid over on each other?
I think that's
when I looked at it and when I had our planning department looked at it, we thought it was pretty reasonable. The water supply, we have a lot of manufacturing moving in. The water supply was the bigger.
So all three are laid on top of each other, so it's well done.
It looked, I mean, based off of the resources I had to go to for Waco, I guess I would say, it looked reasonable. Judge may have to have a different.
No, I think it's reasonable, and industrial growth is the fastest part of what we're seeing right now. More likely that'll be true in the future.
Yes. For Washington County, it was Corix Utilities. And Corix Utilities in Washington County, we provided a current number of meters plus living unit equivalents to estimate the number of connections by 2030. And that used a 3.5 people per household. Instead of using that, the Water Development Board looked at the U.S. Census Bureau data for people per household and essentially observed a much lower number than that. And so they used that lower rate and then their board projected rates to estimate 2040 through 2080.
Any other questions for Tony? Yes, Kenny.
I'd just
Kenny
like Wilman. To just make a comment just to thank Tony and his team for the diligence that they took to gather this and to go back and retrace it and to, I think, do a really good job for the board advocating for these adjustments to the board.
Agreed. Thank you, Kenny. Any other comments?
Like to ask about Barberton County.
No, you can't. Go ahead, Gary Westbrook.
I'm looking at Burleson County and I'm trying to figure out what am I seeing wrong here? I mean,
the population?
Yeah. Okay. Population decrease and decline, and that's. It's nowhere near what's happening.
He's looking it up. See him studying?
Uh-huh. We have to go back and talk to somebody.
The data that we got for Burleson County was related to an adjustment for county other, and that was the board straight up approved that one, that adjustment. So that was all the information that we had to submit.
We'll have to have to talk about that one. Everywhere you look, county other is growing with subdivisions coming in and platting going on, and
so we had, forgive me, I misspoke. We had Cade Lakes Water Supply, Caldwell, County Other, Deanville, Milano Water Supply, mm-hmm. City of Snook, Somerville, and Southwest Mile Water Supply Corporation. And those requests, all of those were recommended were approved by the Water Development Board.
So for the population numbers, it shows from 2030 to 2080, 400 people less.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there'll be 400.
I know.
There'll be 400 more people before the end of the meeting today. No, you're between College Station in Austin, and it's I'm not sure.
No, I don't disagree with you, Gary, but I think what Tony was telling us.
Mm-hmm.
He used the numbers that were given to him.
I know, and I'm trying to understand why they would have answered it that way. We had a water workshop for our rural water utilities night before last, and that's all they wanted to talk about was how fast they were growing and how they were going to plan to expend more funds and extend more lines. And Now that's going to be incorrect.
Well, I will say that, again, when it comes to the evaluation of strategies, even if we don't have the population number that we believe, and if a WUG requests a strategy for a higher amount than what the population is, this planning group does have the capability of approving or recommending a strategy higher than what the needs that identify.
Which would help some, even though the population numbers.
Yeah, I saw the demands are staying level, but even that will be insufficient.
Have you looked at Milam? Maybe you chased them all over to Milam.
I looked at Milam. It took my breath away. I had to go to Burleson to catch my breath. I might have. Anybody that's selling any property?
What it looks like.
Get a little busy in my backyard.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, looking at Milam, that's pretty close. But when you look at Burleson should be mirroring Milam.
So what Gary is hem-hawing around about is what can you do about it,
Tom? Yeah, I think that's where we're at. I can't go back and answer questions from my county judge with that slide. So, and actually, I was trying to think. We actually had Deanville Water Supply there at our meeting night before last, and again, he was talking about 600 houses in a subdivision and.
That's right, and we did include that data in our submittal to the Water Development Board. So
how'd we end up with less population?
It's whether or not they approved it.
So I can blame it on them.
Well,
yes, even if that's the answer you wanted.
That's
right?
The answer I wanted.
Even if we had for example, the 600. That would demonstrate, at least from the board's, and I'm generalizing here.
But, yes, sir. No, I realize that.
That would generalize near-term growth, but then they wouldn't carry that on over the next 50 years. So they would still take the growth rate that they have in their draft numbers. So what we tried to do is get whatever data we could from the WUG on like those developments and document those. And then look at their water use survey reports. Some of the time that helped, and some of the time that hurt, because their water use survey information didn't necessarily support the assertion that they were growing. And so, that really emphasizes, get those water use surveys dialed in correctly, mm-hmm. And not just simply use a multiplier.
He was able to get it up a little bit over what their first projection was.
Yeah, I saw that. I mean, going to 2040, that's about right. After that, yeah.
So it really is, you can almost look at each one of those counties and each WUG as, well, how much data could we bring to bear to justify a change?
Mm-hmm.
And the board, I would submit,
that's going to be way short.
A lot, at least in the near term, to try and adjust those numbers with the data that we provide.
I would even recant what I just said, because that, going from just an increase of 150 people, that's going to be way short over the next 17 years. So what options do I have if I want to call folks in Burleson County and ask them what they were thinking?
Well, round up more data. That's the message.
I'll get with you because that's just way short. I wouldn't be surprised if by the end of next year there's 20,000 people in that county.
Could be, but they have to have more than I would be surprised that there'll be 20. That's what Tony's saying.
Yeah, I know, but we're dealing with the folks that are coming to get permits for groundwater. And
that may be some things he needs to know.
Yeah.
Okay, anything else before Tony goes forward?
All right, also going to present to you the wholesale water provider and major water provider lists. Again, no action, this is just first share. So as you guys ponder these over the coming months, if there's anything that's missing or if you want to consider changing how you identify a major water provider, you guys can reach out and we can start talking about that and bring that forward for consideration for action in February. Texas Administrative Code defines wholesale water providers must sell or deliver or plan to sell or deliver wholesale water at some point in the 50-year planning horizon. The planning groups determine which wholesale water providers to use in their plan development. And then once you identify those, there are specific analyses and reporting requirements that are necessary for wholesale water providers. This is our preliminary identified list. It's consistent with the 2021 plan as well. So no major surprises there. Oh, yeah.
Okay, what is that? That's a comprehensive list?
This is just the wholesale water providers.
City of Temple?
So if it's a WUG that's a seller, that'll be characterized as water user groups that are sellers, and we'll have different reporting requirements with them.
Okay.
So we're only capturing these that are only wholesale.
Got it. Thank you.
Major water providers. They're a subset of those WUG sellers and those wholesale water providers. They can be, there's much more room for how the planning group defines a major water provider, but that identification and designation by this planning group is basically, these are the providers that are of significance to the region's water supply. In the 21 plan, Brazos G basically defined a major water provider as any wholesale water provider that is not also a municipal WUG or any water user group with a total municipal demand in the Brazos G area of at least 1,000 acre feet per year, including contractual sales to other municipal utilities. So those were the thresholds that this body identified 5 years ago to identify who are major water providers. And on the next page, this is the list of major water providers using those thresholds with, in red, those that now meet those thresholds for the purposes of the 26 plan. So this is where you start capturing more of those folks that have now exceeded that 1,000 acre foot demand threshold and sell water to somebody else. So again, I realize it's a wall of text. The point is that as you guys go back, everybody's gonna have something that they're looking for. You go back and look at this, and by all means, reach out to myself and the consultant team or the chair, and they'll get in touch with us, and we can modify this. Or if you guys look at it and decide, hey, we want a different threshold, we think there's something else, then you can bring that forward for consideration and action in the February meeting. The idea here is just to give you the first look 4 or 5 months ahead of time. That way you have plenty of time to look at it and custom discuss it.
So Tony, to be on that list, you have to use more than 1,000 acre feet a year and be a wholesale provider?
It's not use as it's, The demand
right? Of at least, 1,000 acre feet and to be a wholesale provider?
Yes.
Okay.
Or plan to be a wholesale provider.
Okay. Thank you.
So we've expanded from that first list to this second list.
Yes. So now you'll have the WUG sellers with demands greater than 1,000. You'll have the wholesale water providers implicitly, and they're the ones that meet that 1,000 acre foot demand number. So if there's no response to the methodology or the criteria for now, again, you can think about just circle back with us and we'll take that information. Our interregional coordination, just very quickly. We've reached out to every region that abuts against us and spoken with their consultants, mainly under the interest of two things. One is the water availability.
Tony, mode. Just a second.
Oh, yes.
So Gary's Tony, got a question.
I just wanted to know, do you have any, for planning purposes, do you have any recommendations on whether or not we should change or amend any of that?
No, I think that you've got a good threshold here of identifying significance. I mean, if we came up with a different number, it's objective. So I think it's really the purview of the planning group of what is significant.
It should allow some consistency, but I just wanted to be sure it wasn't a better.
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
So as far as our interregional coordination, we've spoken with the consultants to make sure we're being consistent in our modeling, because obviously that's going to be important in characterizing availability. We've also been speaking with them. I mentioned that database earlier. Well, there's a lot of interplay at the consultant level about who has access, particularly with split WUGs that are over multiple basins, or a source that's in one region and a user that's in a different region. And that requires a lot of coordination on our part. So we're all working together to try and hit some deadlines that make sure that we all hit the tech memo deadline on March 4th. So I won't go through all the details there, but essentially they're all in the same process of getting hydrologic variances approved and moving into the supply allocation stage. So our path forward from here, as I mentioned at the start, the consultant team will be working on source availabilities and engaging folks on supplies, doing that database entry. We'll be performing the initial needs summary, identifying, you know, once we get that information in the database, what that database report is starting to tell us. Those groundwater and scope of work committees, I'm not going to repeat all the work that they're doing, but it's quite a bit. They'll be bringing that forward, and then we'll be preparing that technical memorandum. Here, just for your consideration, is a draft of the tech memo, where we're just trying to, you know, get the information out there, get your mind thinking about, well, hey, what are we going to be approving come next February? And this is generally checking all of those boxes that I've ranted off at the beginning of this thing that are required by rule and statute as being in the tech memo. And so we're going to pull all that information together with the help of the scope of work committee and the groundwater committee. And our hope is that with this information deluge today, that at least you've gotten somewhat up to speed where we're not going to have another, you know, go around the circle again on infeasible strategies, and we'll be much further or closer to, you know, to make a decision on things like infeasible strategies and the process for feasible, so that those actions are at least you've had some consideration and a good amount of time to ponder them and discuss them. And that concludes what I have, unless there are any questions.
Any questions for Tony before I let him sit down?
One.
Of course, here's one.
Region L?
Yes, sir.
Are they not, that's San Antonio, right?
Right.
Coordination with them?
We don't have the San Antonio Basin in our area, so I just didn't include them on that list.
Okay. Well, I thought that we would be at least receiving input on that one project that ships water down there.
Oh, yes. When we're talking about projects, absolutely. Okay. This is just right now, since we're in the supply phase, we're talking with them about source availability and distribution of existing supplies.
Okay. Thank you for clarifying.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay, Tony, you can get a drink of water now.